Joined now by our dear friend, the Northfield Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Rich and Ryan. Always a pleasure to be with you. excuse me, I had a little bit of coffee. The weeks are a little wonky this month, right? With April 1st being on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm here. It feels like forever since I've been here.
It has been.
Great to see you.
It has been a while. And because the wonky schedule, we're winding up with like 15 people on the show today. But that's
I just want to put out there that I was the one that reached out to say, hey, we've got this weird schedule. Do you still want me to show up at the regular time?
And of course, I'm never, ever, ever going to say, no, Matt, don't come
that's
in.
That's right. Okay?
But I will say this has been doing wonders for our time management. So.
And I'm about to destroy our time management altogether because I have to ask you in less than 1 minute. I need you to put on your Minnesota Twins cap. If you were the hitting coach, how would you get our team back on the right path? Our team can't hit right now, Dr. Hillman.
Well, more concerning, I would actually bring my pitchers back to Florida and have them field ground balls.
Well, there's that too. Tom Kelly, I'm sure, was just his head was exploding all over the place yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's early in the season. A lot of season left. I'm reminded that the 91 Twins started 2-9, which this is a little worse than that, obviously. But we'll get there.
We'll get there.
I think there's some signs of life, and we'll get there.
I'm
a believer.
I thank you. I see. This is why I need you around, man. That's why I'm never going to say no when you want to come in. All right. So there actually was a school board meeting last night.
Yes, we had a board meeting last night. And
there's a whole bunch of things to talk about.
Yeah, we talked mostly about the budget, which we'll obviously talk about. A couple of things I want to recognize. We had some, this is the time of year again where we're kind of closing out that winter season, and there's some academic activities, musical activities that are going on, and some other honors that I want to share. So we want to congratulate Aki Gupta and Tristan Westergren. They qualified for the Business Professionals of America National Leadership Competition. So congratulations to Aki and Tristan. Northfield High School ninth graders Hazel Shovelton and Leo Salen were selected for the 2025 Minnesota Band Directors Association 9th and 10th grade honor band. So congratulations
Fantastic.
To Hazel and Leo.
Yeah, well done.
Ben Geiger, in case you're not aware, pretty big deal, right?
Yes.
Ben was selected for the USA Hockey Under-17 National Team. 23 hockey players across the entire country make this team, so congratulations to Ben. Just continuing that wonderful tradition of Northfield hockey. Noah Morrell and Elizabeth McCormick qualified for the Minnesota State High School League State Speech Tournament with their performance at the section meet last week. And the superintendent's most proud moment was when you have not one, but two knowledgeable teams that finish in the top 10 at the state meet out of 48 teams. So congratulations to our dominant knowledgeable team.
Is it common to have more than one knowledgeable team?
Yes.
Okay.
So many schools that participate in knowledgeable will have more than one team. In fact, I think we might have had six or seven.
Oh, really?
There's usually... there's the way that competition works, you can have more than one team per school.
Okay.
There you go.
And then, we're coming up, we've started the fourth quarter, so we're coming up on some of the rites of passage. Last Saturday night, one of my favorite events of the entire school year, one of the better intergenerational events that we have, which was the Northfield High School Jazz Band Swing Dance.
Yes.
Out at the Northfield Ballroom. And so this has been a tradition for decades, and the jazz bands, performed 2 hours of live music, and, our own Sherry Setchell provides dance lessons, ahead of time, and it was a good crowd, and I spoke with a couple who was there, no kids in the district, they've got some grandkids, but, there had been a connection to, the ballrooms of the past, right? The very common, big band dances that happened across the prairie,
right?
On Friday night and Saturday nights.
The Marigold Ballroom.
There's just
St.
so
Paul.
Few of those left. These folks came to, they read about it in the paper, and they had heard about it, and they came simply because they missed that kind of community event. And so, again, schools are often the center of the community, and it was just, swing dance is one of my favorite events. I hope we can maybe do a little work, promote it even a little bit more next year.
Absolutely.
Here through
the radio station, KYMN was represented at that swing dance.
Yes, they Karsten
was there. Singh,
yes,
indeed.
Karsten was there.
Yes.
He had the dancing shoes on for sure. So
he was excited about it too.
Yeah, so just those are a few things. And then I think to start off, just want to congratulate Tanya Will, who was appointed as the next Spring Creek principal.
Okay,
so as we know, Scott Sanis was a longtime principal at Spring Creek. retired last summer. Tanya, who has worked at Spring Creek for most of her
oh boy, it's allergy
most
season.
Of her 30 bugs. Years in the district. She was the interim principal this year and just has done a great job. We conducted an internal search within the district, had several qualified candidates who applied, and we've appointed Tanya as the ongoing principal. So for people who have been involved in Spring Creek any of the last three decades, Tanya Will is well known. She's served in a variety of positions and is just dedicated to that building, to the families, to the staff. Got great reviews of the leadership that she provided this year, and we're excited that she'll continue in that role in an ongoing fashion.
Fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's you have fantastic people running your schools, man.
We've got
great principals in this town. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've got great folks who want to be here because of our vision and because of the community's commitment and because of the community's willingness to have hard conversations, which we'll talk about in a minute. Let's talk a little bit of good news, right? So the high school project, the Reimagine Northfield High School project that voters overwhelmingly approved last November, we continue moving forward with this. Now, of course, just this is my public service announcement that remember that the Reimagine Northfield High School bond referendum, separate funds, the voters approved those funds to improve the high school. That's a long-term investment in our community that's completely separate from the general fund budget reduction discussion that we're having. So it's really important for us to remember that the bond funds are only for that, can't be used for anything else. And we've been doing the extensive planning process with Wold. We've got Wold Architects and Engineers, Knutson Construction are our advisors in this. Sal Bagley from Wold Architects and Engineers is really leading these teams. We have two teams, over 60 people involved in these teams. One is focused solely on the overall high school facility, and then we have a subcommittee that's focused on the expanded gymnasium and the interaction and the use that will have, you know, both within the district and the community. So we will have our final meeting, so our 8th core planning group meeting tomorrow afternoon and our 4th subcommittee meeting tomorrow afternoon. That will essentially bring this first part of the planning phase to a close.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a point where we have a substantial completion of the initial conceptual drawing. So it looks like a floor plan, right? What we're getting to.
Right.
It doesn't have, obviously, where all the electrical going and things like that, but the conceptual floor plan, it's still ink on paper, but we're moving closer to what would be the documents that would be used for the bidding process. And so as we bring this portion to a close, there'll be a report at the May 12th board meeting where the community will get to see, you know, some of these first, you know, floor plan designs. And then they move into what's called the user group phase. And so the user group phase is where, you know, people who use the spaces come in and actually say, we think this should be the front of the classroom. This is where we think the light switches should go. That kind of thing. So very detailed process.
Will the conceptual designs include an artist rendering of
it? Will not.
Okay.
Yeah, it will not. We're focused right now on function, right? I mean, our goal is always to have an appealing, right, a visually appealing building, but one that is pragmatic. And I just point to Greenville Park as an example.
Yeah.
It's a visually appealing building.
It is.
But it's a very pragmatic design that is focused on shocking learning.
Yeah.
Right? We're focused on teaching and learning. And so how do we do that in an efficient way and a way that honors and supports our great teachers in their instructional process? So really making good progress there. But we also, just since the last time we visited, Carleton College provided the wire transfer of the first $1 million of their $2 million pledge. And so I was looking for a big check. And then I realized that's so antiquated, right? It was a wire transfer. So
expecting like
showed up in
a big, like, what was that?
The big cardboard thing?
Yeah, these super publisher clearinghouse, they show people stores with balloons and things.
Yeah, I'm just happy for the wire transfer.
Yeah, that's there you how go.
It's,
yeah.
There must be a publisher's clearinghouse version of the wire transfer. Maybe it's a Instagram post. I don't know.
Right,
but just, again, want to thank Allison Byerly and the leadership at Carleton College for, you know, again, I just come back to how unusual this is. You know, we joke that this is a special place, but it is highly irregular that an elite private college invests in its local public school system in this way. And so we got the first $1 million wire transfer. The second will occur in 2027 when we go to sell the rest of the bonds. So, again, as you know, we do what we say we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Carleton obviously does what they say they're going to do. So when we, you know, did the educational campaign last fall, when we look back on it, we are delivering on the things that we told the community would. In fact, delivering better than we said when it came to the interest rate, you know, on the first set of bonds. So we'll continue to give updates, but it's exciting, but it's about to get even more exciting. So that's a good part. It's important for us to talk about that amid this loss that we have related to the general fund budget.
Right. You know, it's you talk about Carlton stepping up, and boy, congratulations to the people of Carlton, and thank you to the people of Carlton for doing that. And it's not a normal thing. I would like to see something like that a little more normalized across the country, though.
Well, hopefully we'll be setting the precedent.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Carlton can set an example for a lot of other schools.
I think it was important for people to hear an update on that and to hear that Carlton has followed through, because we're also having this very difficult discussion, you know, about our priority-based budget reduction process. And again, completely separate from the bond. And as you know, Minnesota school finance is highly regulated, thanks to Logan for the really in-depth interview that he did with Val Murdestorf, director of finance, myself, and board member Ben Miller.
Yes.
Very highly regulated system, and we're specifically talking about our general fund budget. We've talked many times before, but people come to this conversation at different times. You know, we are looking at a $6 million budget reduction recommendation, really primarily due to a handful of items. Number one, it's about enrollment. Around 70% of our funding is based on enrollment-driven formulas. 70% of our funding also comes from the state. So you have declining enrollment. Again, not mass exodus kinds of things, right? It's a small, you know, less than a percent of students who are less than 1% less students each year.
Right.
Declining birth rate, just extremely limited housing inventory in the community. So declining enrollment's a driver. State funding, again, about 70% of our revenue is from the state of Minnesota. Minnesota funds public schools. And I think you all know, you've been doing some great work talking with Christy Purcell, you know, about the situation that they have at the state capitol. Mm-hmm. And so we're not expecting to get any substantial funding from the legislature for the next biennium.
Right.
And then we're working through, you know, a series of mandates. And again, not a value judgment on the mandates. I think many people can you might agree or you might disagree with the mandate, but there's the truth of how much it impacts our budget. And so we've outlined all of those things before. We had over 80 people who were part of our budget reduction teams, five teams that came together in February to make the initial recommendations. We then entered the community feedback phase. We've been doing that for about the last 6 weeks. I was really proud of the meeting that we had on April 3rd, a community meeting for public input. We counted 177 people at that meeting, and I really think it was a model of what really quality democracy looks like, right? Mm-hmm. People providing feedback in a way that was productive, sad, disheartened, disappointed, in some cases angry, but angry with the situation, you know, not angry with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see such rhetoric, you know, across, you know, different governmental agencies, but the way that our district residents came together to share their personal stories, what the impact of these proposed reductions would mean for them in a very heartfelt way. People can be very proud of their school board. Our school board are exceptional public servants.
I agree.
They are great listeners. They are taking all of that feedback in. Last count, I think we've had 73 emails to the board about various topics related to the budget reduction process. Last night, we went package by package. So there are five different budget reduction packages.
Okay.
This is really the first of three meetings that the board is deliberating. So last night was about questions and feedback and comments. We went package by package. Board members asked questions, suggested data or other information that might be beneficial for them at our next step, which is a week from today. Next Tuesday, April 22nd, from 5 to 7 p.m. in the boardroom, we'll have a work session. Work session is different than a regular meeting. Board members sit around a table. It's more of a committee-like conversation where they can dive into one issue. We don't broadcast work sessions. We don't do a lot of them, but we don't broadcast work sessions. But the public is, of course, welcome to attend, you know, enter the same exact place that you'd come for a board meeting. So they're going to really dive into what is the direction that they're going on these 86 different line items that are recommended for reduction. And then at the April 28th meeting is when we'll make the final decisions.
Okay.
And so we continue to welcome community feedback. We've had a lot of it. We think it's great. We want to keep hearing from people. And the board has now shifted to the deliberation and decision phase.
Okay. Five different packages. Is there a wild spectrum? I should say a wide spectrum of options for the board.
Yeah, so there are 86 different recommendations, yeah. And those teams really weigh options, right? At this point in the process, the way that this has worked, and you know, we didn't have any public comment last night because we think that we've had a lot of opportunity for people to express their perspective, and that's how a good system is supposed to work. I think in many organizations, the administration just says, here's the cuts, and then it becomes kind of a fight, right? That's when an organization is doing something to its stakeholders. We're doing this process with our stakeholders, which I think really has allowed people to be involved. You know, so I anticipate the board, of course, can act how they choose to. What I anticipate is that they really have a handful of options. They can choose to increase or decrease the amount of reduction in any one line item. That could be something I can see they can do. They could approve the line item as recommended, or they could vote not to approve a line item as recommended. And that's been the history right here, that we've had some times where there's been an increase in a reduction recommendation, or there's been a decrease in the amount of money for a recommendation, or they have just chosen not to approve that particular line item and directed administration to come back with something different at some point. So, the, you know, I think the important piece here, too, is that you got to be very careful. We can get into this dichotomy of discussion, right? It can be very technical about money and projections and things like that, and it can also become uber personal, right? And as always, the truth, you know, the necessity is to lie somewhere in the middle. We need to call it what it is we are going to be losing positions. Quite a few of them. I would even go to say a lot of them. And these are human beings. These are people who show up to work every day to do good things for kids. So this is a loss for our system, and we're grieving it. These are people who show up and do good work, and they make a difference in kids' lives. Kids are going to lose some of their peeps, right, to use a colloquialism, right? There are people who they look forward to seeing each day who won't be there anymore, right? They'll be working for someplace else. We've got such great people. I'm confident those people who won't be coming back, you know, will secure employment with another school district. And we've got that loss that we're working through, which is very difficult. And at the same time, we are also losing services. So services are run by people, but we're going to lose some service if these budget reductions are approved, you know, which I anticipate the vast majority of them will be. I don't think all of them will be, but I think the vast majority will be. One of the things that we have been has allowed us to be such good fiscal stewards is that we plan for some margin. So we are responding and not reacting. And so just because of the nature and the depth of the reductions, we are going to lose some of that margin that has allowed us to be responsive. So you say, well, who cares about that? Isn't that inside baseball? Sure, there's some truth to that.
Right.
But things like response times, right? When you go from three administrators at our high school to two, right? You know, from a principal and two assistant principals to a principal and an assistant principal, these people are workers, right? Yep. I mean, they are hard workers. But when there's less people, there are going to be some things that we will have done more quickly before that will take more time. And then, frankly, there are just some things that we have been able to do that have been of good service to our community we won't be able to do. And I can't give you a list of those things today because I could predict what those would be. And then as we work through the transition process to a leaner team, I will almost certainly be wrong. So what we're seeing is we're losing positions, which are people, impact on students and, of course, families. And then we are...
Yeah,
we are also losing services, and the kind of margin that has allowed us to be thoughtful and responsive, as opposed to reactive. Now we'll still work, do everything we can to be responsive rather than reactive, but these are the kinds of losses. And for many people, they may not see that. And at the same time, I can tell you it's going to impact our district. We'll continue to work very hard to deliver the quality product that people have come to expect. But we're just we're going to have to do it with less people, and so I really am hoping and asking for people's support and understanding as we transition to just having. Think about running this radio show. If you had to drop down to having one of the two of you here every day, right? That's a loss. And not only the loss of the human in the room, but also the person that who's going to make sure that they pick the song of the day? Who's going to be the person that makes sure that they look at, you know, which are the commentary that we're going to give this morning? And so just like at your work, if you're trying to do more with less, we know how that works,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not easy. And I do not envy you or your staff or the school board for situations like this. I mean, but you guys are really stepping up, and thank you for taking it so seriously.
Well, of course we take it seriously. And I think the other part is that I think we have so few. I'm just going to really compliment our school board and our administrative team and all the people. This is everybody, right? There are very few examples, in my opinion, of quality leadership today.
Yeah.
Across all sorts of industries.
Yes.
And I think what you're seeing here is a community who is coming together and leading with integrity. As I've said many times, two things can be true at the same time. We can be pleased with that the process that we've used has been solid, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can ever have a super process for something like this, right? The best you can hope for is solid.
Right.
And that is something we did together. So that is true. And we can be hurt and sad and angry by the losses that happen. And so I think from a systems perspective, it's probably about as good as you could do. And I think that we are really a model, you know, for how other governmental agencies, other businesses, other communities could learn from this process of how we do this together, not silencing our anger or our frustration, but channeling it in a way that is as productive as we can be for kids. And we're hurt by it. We're sad. But we also have this sacred trust of making sure that we run the school district in the most effective way possible. So that's what we'll keep doing.
Right.
There you go.
Northfield Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, always, always good to talk to you. Good to see you, sir. It's been too long.
Right back at you.
And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.